Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Cornell from DivineFeminineYoga.com, and I am truly delighted to be starting our Thriving Yoga Teacher Program here today with you. This is the first day of our course, and this is Module 1 on Durga, Claiming Your Passion and Claiming Your Core Mission with Goddess Durga. So Durga is really that energy that helps us identify our own right path in life, and then our own right path as a yoga teacher, and really own that, step into the power and the grounding of that. And when we really claim our power with Goddess Durga, it empowers our teaching and it clarifies our own unique path, and that's really the foundation for everything else that we're going to do, because when you are totally clear on your mission in life and how that relates to your journey as a yoga teacher, it enables you to create your own unique offering, to distinguish yourself from other teachers. But even more than that, you will radiate the light of your birth. You will radiate your own birth energy, the unique reason you came onto this planet, because I'm assuming you wouldn't be a yoga teacher if you didn't have a deeply spiritual gift to share in this world. And each one of us is going to share it in a different way. And when we really own that and we really step into that, then our teaching becomes even more vibrant, more alive, and it empowers us to go out there and do what we need to do to really serve the people that we're meant to serve and serve this planet in the way that we're meant to serve. So I want to congratulate you for joining this class. We actually have 45 registrants in this class, and, you know, I want to acknowledge you for stepping up into this commitment, because anytime you step into a class and you register and you actually put your dollars down, you know, and you plan the time and you say, I'm going to really learn from this class, you commit. You're committing to yourself, you're committing to your path, and you're committing to growing your teaching and being of even greater service. So I want to acknowledge each one of you who has registered. So just a little review of where we're going to go and what we're going to do today. In this class today, we're going to look at how to really be in an online class and what's in the online forum and how to really succeed and get the most out of it. We're going to look at the schedule. We're going to talk about the retreat. And then we're going to spend most of our day with this energy of Durga and all the pieces that come from that. There's a wonderful guidebook that goes along with today's class that is on the online forum. And if you don't already have it, I recommend you go and get it. You can go to your computer to the online forum, and if you haven't registered yet, you'll need to register. You can go to the email that you received this morning, and there's a link there to that forum. Then bookmark it on your computer, and under the course materials page, under Module 1, Goddess Durga, is the guidebook for today's class. So go ahead and download that. And just another little tip, when you click on, when it says click here to download, for me and my computer, I have a Macintosh. If I click left click, it opens a new window. If I click right click, it enables me to download it and save it. So if you have a Macintosh, right click it and you can download it and then save it as a file. If you need help with that, you can email Liz, Liz at Divine Feminine Yoga. So where are we going? So we're going to start with really claiming our power and our passion with Goddess Durga. We're going to look at identifying our own right path, articulating your unique message, and having the courage and the strength and the clarity to really speak it with passion. And connecting with your own unique niche, because as you grow as a yoga teacher, you want to really find the people that you are most uniquely designed to serve. So we're going to look at different specializations or how to differentiate yourself from other yoga teachers and how to really deepen as a teacher so that you're not kind of flatlining, but you're really continuing to go deeper and deeper with your creativity and your uniqueness. And we're going to look at how your life story prepares you to serve this niche. Okay, that's today. And then next Monday, we will have a live mentoring call, and you can get on the phone, and that's where you can ask questions. You can say, you know, this is what I did with the homework, this is what I looked at, this is where I'm struggling, this is what I got, these are my insights, and you can ask for feedback, okay? So we'll do some live mentoring. So bring your questions, your struggles, your celebrations to that call. For that call, I highly recommend if you can be on the call with Skype or phone and not on the webcast, because I want to be able to talk to you. I will go on the webcast, I'll look, and I will, you know, respond to questions that you're typing in. But it's more beneficial for you if I can hear your voice and respond to you in the moment. And then next Thursday, we have module 2, and we'll be going into that time, Goddess Kali. And in fact, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to invite you all to look with me so you can see where I am as I'm going through this. I want to show you a little bit of how we're going to be using the online website, because all these units that I'm going through and just kind of reviewing and the dates are on the forum, okay? So if you come with me over to the forum, so it's thrivingyogateacher.ning.com, thrivingyogateacher.ning.com. And click on that page, Course Materials. And if you haven't registered yet, you'll need to do that first. It takes about 10 minutes. Okay. So Module 1 is right there, Claim Your Power and Passion with Goddess Durga. That's today. And then the mentoring session next week, we're going to look at the fears and doubts. And these are the fears and the doubts that can hold you back. And we're going to talk about some very specific techniques to release them. And this is the tantric path where we move through them, we embrace them, rather than trying to ignore them and hope they'll go away. This is that tantric path of everything in our lives is grist for the mill. Everything in our lives becomes a vehicle for deepening our spirituality. So we will move into and through those blocks. And what comes from this is gaining more and more confidence. You will feel more and more confident, and you will move into that space of bliss with Kali. You know how Kali is dancing? She's dancing the ecstatic dance of the universe. And so we all have fears and doubts. There's this small self, the ego. It's totally part of our makeup. And as we learn to release that, we move into our greater self, our connection with cosmic consciousness, our connection with the bliss of Kali. This will free you up in a really powerful way to do the outreach that you want to do, to teach with all your heart, and to really feel freedom in your teaching and in your expression and in growing your business. Module 3, we're going to be talking about Goddess Saraswati. And this is your creative life. We need to constantly be feeding our teaching and our projects and our outreach with that real live creative juice. And this comes from having time with Saraswati. So we're going to go over very specific ways to nourish your creative life so it feeds your classes, so it feeds your deeper offerings and your free offerings. And also we're going to talk very specifically about writing and how to find the perfect words, how to know how to package what you're doing. And we'll look at how to create your unique signature program that beautifully expresses you and your unique gifts. And in the last module, this is the Lakshmi module, how to attract abundance with your teaching and your business with Goddess Lakshmi. And that's abundance of beauty, abundance of joy, abundance of the right number of students that you would like to be serving, abundance of income, abundance of the support that is needed to help your business thrive and to help you thrive personally. There's a lot to cover in this unit, so we're going to be sprinkling pieces of the Lakshmi energy in every single class. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is how to start finding the perfect words that your ideal clients will resonate with, then this is Lakshmi, because we want to just have that kind of magnetic energy that whatever comes out of our mouth, somebody who we're ideally meant to serve is going to go, oh, my goodness, that's me. Their eyes are going to light up. You will see the little light bulb go off, and they'll go, please, I need that, right? Somebody who's not your ideal client, it's going to be kind of like water off a duck's back. It's going to go slide right down and off them, no problem. They're not your ideal client. It's totally fine. We're not each meant to serve everybody. We don't need to be everybody's yoga teacher, right? So we're going to start with that today when we're looking at the unit on Durga. So those are the units, and they're laid out there. If you ever want to see them again and remember where we're going, or if you ever want the schedule again, it's all here on this page under the online forum, under course materials, and also that's where you'll go to get the download links. Okay, so a little bit more about how to really get the most out of this class. Number one, schedule a time to listen to the calls. Okay, if you can be on the calls live, that's great. If you can't make the calls live, put it in your calendar when you will listen, right? So, you know, if you can't be there on Thursday for the training call, put it in your calendar for Friday afternoon. Download it, maybe go on a nice walk, download the handout and take it with you, or be at home and look at it online. But really schedule that in. It's important because you're going to want to feel that you are, if possible, not waiting to the end to listen to all the calls. You want to kind of stay up with where the class is. So that's number one. Number two, after you have created that dedicated time to each class, participate in the online forum. This is like when you're in an in-person class and the teacher says, okay, get in groups and talk, right? You get to talk. You get to share what you're learning, you get to share your ahas, your insights, and then read what other people have posted. Here's some good posting karma, ladies, yoginis. Whenever you post, go and read two other people's posts and comment on two other people's posts. This is good posting karma. So people are getting responses. Okay, so just say what you learned and then go and read what two other people said and say, wow, that sounds great, or I feel the same way, or here's a question that might help you clarify this, or here's an idea, or here's a tip, or here's a place to look for a resource that would help you with this place that you're stuck. Okay, so help two other people out or give them feedback. As we go through, you can post things. We'll be working next week, for example, on your bio and how to write a really juicy bio. You can post it and get feedback. Right? But you also want to give feedback to at least two other people each time you post. On the discussion forum, it's great to post your photo. And when you go on to the, when you're on the thrivingyogateacher.ning.com, and I do recommend you bookmark that because you're going to be using it a lot, you can go to the tab that says My Page. And under My Page, it says your name over on the right, and there's five little things, and it says settings. Click on the button that says settings. So for me, I'm looking at my page. It says Laura Cornell, sign out, inbox, alert, friends, settings. If you click on settings, you can upload a photo and, you know, just use a little square thing. If you're having any trouble uploading your photo, you can email Liz. It's Liz@divinefeminineyoga.com, or you can just email support@divinefeminineyoga.com. That also goes to Liz. It's not required to upload a photo, but it's nice because we can see your face. Makes it fun to be on the site. If you have technical questions about how to use the forum, you can either email Liz or you can post it on the forum. She's got a discussion there. And if there's questions that you know you would like us to cover on the bonus call on techie stuff, right? Post that there as well. I want to explain how the discussion forum works. The tab that says forum, you can go to the thing that says forum, and then there's a tab that says all discussions, my discussions, settings. My discussions means any discussion that you have ever participated in, if you started it or if you responded to it. If it's all discussions, it shows everything. And then you can sort it by latest activity, by the ones that were started most recently or by the most popular. And you can add a discussion. There's a little button with a plus sign. You can add any discussion you want. Okay? I'm going to be adding a discussion each week that goes with that module. So we're on module one, so I'm going to post a discussion for you to post your learning, what you're learning from module one, what you got out of this call, what you got out of the guidebook that goes with this call. And I'm also going to be posting one with any questions for people who cannot make it live to the mentoring call. So if you can't be at the mentoring call live, that's where you go to post your question. It will say, post your question here for mentoring call one. And I will respond to it on that call. Another thing you might want to do is find a homework buddy. You can post and say you're looking for a homework buddy. I've done that in some online classes. It's great. You can set up a time to talk on the phone and just share your homework. It's great. So we're going to step into the content for today's class, which is Durga. And I want to just kind of ground into our spiritual power here and invite each of you to really step into this energy of Durga, because it informs everything we do in this class. And if you want to stretch for a moment, you can even just stand up. Maybe I'm doing a side bend here. Give yourself a nice stretch with your long body and take some deep, slow breaths. Let out a sigh. Take the arms up. I'm going to interlace fingers and press my hands up. I'm squatting a little bit, so really ground into the earth and feel the energy of the earth coming up into your body. Long breath. Relax the neck. I'm straightening my legs, but I'm still feeling the power of the earth coming up into my body. And this is the power of Durga. So I want to tell you the story of Durga, and then I'll read a little bit about Durga, and then we'll connect it with your power and your passion. So the story of Durga is that there was a demon king, Mahishasura. And if you want to learn how to say that, it's Mahishasura. And really it comes from two words, Mahesh, which is another word for great, and Asura, which would be the name of the demons at this particular time. So Mahishasura. He was the king of the demons, and he wanted to be immortal. So he practiced his yoga really, really hard. He practiced all these austerities, and then he went to Lord Brahma and said, please make me immortal. And Brahma said, okay, I'll grant your wish. So he became immortal. But guess how they did it? They made it that no man or no male deity could kill him. They've kind of forgot that a woman would ever be able to go after him. He didn't even think about that, right? And what happened was he got very egotistical after he became immortal. And he started running around and making a mess of the world, and it was getting more and more chaotic and more problematic. And so all the people started pleading with the gods, help us, help us. And the gods said, there's, you know, we'd love to, but there's nothing we can do. Mahishasura is immortal. He cannot be killed by any man or male deity. And then they had the idea to create a female deity. So they got together, and Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva together created this beautiful goddess Durga, who's shown riding on a lion, and she has 10 arms, and in each of her 10 arms she has some magical tool or magical weapon, and it's kind of a combination of the best tool or the best magical weapon of all the other top gods, we could say. And so she's extremely powerful. She goes into battle, and she finally cuts the head off of Mahishasura, disguises himself and pretends to be a buffalo. And she goes into battle, and she cuts his head off, and then his real form shows that he's an asura, and she drives a spear right into his heart and kills him. So she has very good focus. She has many magical powers, and she's riding on the sacred energy of the lion. And her entire purpose is to restore good, to bring good into the world. So Durga is seen as that power of great goodness, great clarity, the ability to ward off the evil forces and kind of do, give them a death blow and say, you know, I'm here, I'm strong, and I'm going to create Durga. So, excuse me, I'm going to create what is right in this world. I'm going to reestablish order. So I like to think of Durga as that energy of the feminine mother in us that says, I want to protect this planet. I want to protect my children. I want to protect my community. I want to help my community heal. I want to bring more health to humanity. So whatever passion you have in your yoga teaching, in your yoga practice, in your family, in your community, in your creative life, why do you care? This is the energy of Durga. And the idea is that we all contain within us that sacred power of Durga. This is not like some myth out there. This is within us. This is in each one of us in every moment. We are Durga. Okay? So I'm going to read from the Devi Mahatmya. And this is a text that was written to Durga. And I encourage you just to sit and get comfortable as you listen to this. Salutations to the Great Feminine, who is the abode of all blessings. Salutations to She, who is the primordial energy of the cosmos and its sustaining principle. Salutations to She, who can be terrible when she needs to be, but who is gentle by nature and upholds the universe. She is the fountain of all creativity. To her, we bow again and again. I bow to the Great Feminine who abides in all beings in the form of intelligence. I bow to the Great Feminine who abides in all beings in the form of reflection. I bow to the Great Feminine who abides in all beings in the form of forgiveness. I bow to the Great Feminine who abides in all beings in the form of peace. I bow again and again to the rules of all the elements and the senses. Salutations to the Great Feminine. The Great Feminine resides in all beings in the form of consciousness and pervades all parts of the universe. Adorations to her again and again. So just feel in your own body that this Great Feminine is all around you. It's the entire universe. It's inside of you. It's every cell of your body. It's what is guiding you. It's what has brought you to this moment. It is your very life. And before we go on, I want to encourage you just to take a moment to check in with yourself in this place of connection with Durga. And as you connect with this lioness energy, that is in you, what are you most passionate about in your life and why? What do you care most deeply about? And how do you want to help people through yoga? And why does it matter? And just feel that alive and vibrating for you. What kind of a difference do you want to make in the world? And in order to make that difference that you want to make, what virtues do you need to embody and live in your life? What virtues of Durga can you call on and live even more deeply? And then coming back, letting your eyes open. So I'm going to invite you to spend some time this week with Durga and with connecting with your own inner lion energy, that strong energy that cares passionately about this planet, that cares passionately about helping other people, and that ferocity. You think about a mother bear and how fiercely she wants to protect her cubs. That's the energy of Durga. And let yourself really live that, breathe it, and journal on it. If you are in the guidebook, you'll see that this is page one of the guidebook. Okay? So spend some time journaling on that as you go through this next week. Okay, so we're going to start talking on a more practical level now, moving this deep passion into the world, right? So as you move into this class, we have about 5 weeks together. And my request for you is to let yourself work on one area of your business in relation to your yoga teaching through this class. Now, I know some of you who have been teaching for a while may have a pretty complex life. You might have a studio, or you might be teaching a lot of classes, okay, and you're probably very busy. And honestly, the busier you are, the harder it's going to be to really do this. But my recommendation to you is to pick one area for growth. It could be your growing edge as a teacher, or it could be a specific goal or new project that you want to implement. So an example would be, let me give some examples. I'm going to use the people who have posted on the Ning site as of yesterday because I had a lot of time yesterday to review it. And I am going to be regularly reviewing it and responding, so do post there. And I'm assuming that if you post on the Ning, you're comfortable with me using your name. If that's a problem, let me know. We have, let me just check in here with myself. Yeah, I am going to use names. Nuria is more of a new teacher, right? So what Nuria might want to focus on based on what she had written would be releasing the fears and doubts and getting clear what does it mean for her to start teaching. Stephanie, I think I asked her the question, if you could go for your wildest dreams, what would they be? Some of you maybe feel like you're kind of just teaching on autopilot, like you're teaching the way you were taught and you're ready to go a little deeper into your own passion. If you are a studio owner and your income is flat, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, tune in with your intuition. And I'm going to give you some ideas, but before I even give you some ideas, what does your intuition tell you is the one thing you could do that would skyrocket your income? What would Durga want you to do? What would be the empowered, not the frantic, I have to fix this, I have to fix this, no. What would be the empowered action you could take that could help grow the income of your business? If you are wanting to combine yoga with another modality, then maybe what you would pick for this class is creating a signature program that combines them. It could be a signature private program or a signature group program. If you know you want to specialize in a certain, you've been teaching regular classes and you want to specialize in something, then getting maybe one specialized class going, or beginning to network with people in that specialty, or beginning to find people for private lessons in that specialty might be what you focus on. If you've just started teaching and you want to really feel good about it and be proud of yourself and relaxed as you get going, that's a great goal. If you're wanting to create a flow from your regular group classes into private sessions in your niche, and that might be yoga and Ayurveda, that might be yoga and health coaching, that might be yoga and massage, yoga for addictions, yoga for special needs, then how to create that flow from your classes to your private lessons could be a goal for this class. If you have a solid base of students and you want to add workshops, that could be your goal. Okay? So look at what your one goal is for this class, or the one area you want to focus on, because here's the thing. It takes a lot of work, really, to create something new, and you want to be able to really flow all of your creative juices in this one direction, which is why I recommend not spreading ourselves too thin. If you're trying to do this and this and this and this, it's hard to grow. If you can kind of focus on one area of growth, or even better, focus all of your business on one theme, it'll be smoother and you'll grow more easily, honestly. So let Durga guide you. Let your passion, let your heart guide you. And we're going to talk about how to do that. Another thing you might want to focus on if you've been teaching for a while is moving into offering an advanced training, an intensive or a teacher training. If you've been teaching in person for a while and you want maybe to branch into something online, someone on our forum wants to do an online forum. It could be an online training or MP3s for download. But really focus on the one thing that you want to develop. I'm looking at my notes here. Now, I want to move to talking about an empowered, tiered business model. And what do I mean by this? If you are a new teacher, I want you to kind of have an idea of, as you grow, how you can grow in a way that will allow you to have the income that you would like, the income that you would choose. Someone on the forum was saying she would like yoga to be her second career, and to have a similar income, or at least not a lot less than when she was in her previous career. And this is totally possible. However, there's a lot of yoga teachers out there that are not making the income they need to thrive. And so they either end up teaching too many classes or feeling discouraged. They can get burnt out from teaching too many classes, or burnt out from the demands of running a yoga studio. And so what I want to show you is what I call an empowered, tiered business model, okay? And I want to just back up a little bit. I think that for some people, if you are a new teacher, it is a perfectly valid choice to say, I'm going to be a part-time yoga teacher. I'm going to hold down a job on the side, or maybe my main job, and teach a few yoga classes. That can be a very empowered choice to grow into being a teacher. Okay. Some other people might make the choice to give themselves a year or two to really grow their business. And it can take a year or two to grow the business in the way you want. There's a lot involved. Okay. So be patient if that's what you're going to do. And be patient if you're working another job and teaching the yoga on the side. You can grow into full-time if you want. Okay, so we're going to look at this empowered tiered business model. It's on page 4 of your guidebook. And I want to say that if you've been teaching for a while and you're finding, or you own a studio and you're finding that your yoga income is flat, or more painfully, going down, which does happen sometimes, There's getting to be more and more studios and more teachers. So some teachers find that it's harder and harder, or studio owners find that it's harder and harder to have a living wage as a yoga teacher or a studio owner. Okay? I see this a lot from people that I talk to. And here's what I want to say. If your income is flat, there could be many reasons, but in my experience from the clients that I've worked with, the most likely reason is that you have a flat business model and that you are missing some potential income streams that could really help. You're very likely missing some income streams that can help you go deeper as a teacher, have deeper offerings for your students, and improve your income situation. So I want to explain what I mean by this. So if you look at page 4, there's this picture of a river flowing into an ocean. Okay? And so you start with the free offerings. This doesn't quite show it, but the free offerings would be up in the Himalayas, up in the mountains. This is like the headwaters of the river. This is where people are finding you. And you want a constant flow of new people into your business, and you want a constant flow of new creative free offerings. One problem is that some people are not giving enough for free, or they're giving the same thing they've been giving for 10 or 20 years, in which case you might need to shake it up a little bit. You know, and this might be hard to hear, get out of a little bit of a rut, and find something new for a free offering that is going to wake up your passion, get into your creative edge, and wake up your community and jazz things up a little bit and really create that sparkle in the Himalayas. So there's this whole new influx and flow, because when you are really giving some very creative free offerings, the word will spread like wildfire about your business. And you will have, just like rain on the Himalayas, just like snow on the Himalayas, just like the seven sisters of the Pleiades raining down on the Himalayas and the river coming down that way. Okay? That's the source. The headwaters is up in the mountains with the free offerings. And then you have your basic offerings. And I give a list here of free offerings, and we'll be going into a lot more detail into these in the class on Lakshmi. And my guess is that you probably, everyone is doing some of these already. Free class, free talk, a gift on your website with required email opt-in, a free email newsletter, free articles on your website, a complimentary private session or phone consultation, a free video on YouTube, free movie showing, benefit class, print newsletter, community event, meal or other celebration or party for your students, some kind of a launch, like a book launch, a website launch, a celebration of a major completion or new offering in your work, a grand opening event. So we'll talk about how to do these in a way that really feeds into that river for your business. But if, you know, this is one place to look if you're not getting a constant inflow, is how to do something new, lively, creative that gets you totally jazzed and gets other people in your community spreading the word. Then the second aspect, this is the main part of the river, the basic entry-level offerings. And this is where most teachers spend a lot of their time. Group classes, private sessions by the hour, introductory workshops. Those could be short, maybe 3-hour workshops. Or sometimes even weekend workshops or introductory level. And then a lot of teachers or studios will sell adjunct products like a book, an ebook, props, CDs, MP3s. Obviously, this list is not exhaustive, but I think you get the idea. These are things anyone can walk off the street and spend a moderate amount of money and participate in what you have to offer. And then we get to the ocean, folks, and here's where you really take people deep. Here's where you really go deep with people. This is going beyond the regular classes. These could be committed, themed classes. I have a women's wisdom and yoga circle that I lead. It's monthly. And it's a committed group. There's a higher investment, and they're committed to each other, and we go really deep there. So some type of a, you know, it's like one day a month where everyone comes, or it's, you know, weekly and an on-site class, but there's perhaps a commitment where people are committing, and you can set the number of students that you require in order to teach that class. And then private lessons, coaching, yoga therapy, or some other area of specialization that you can grow into, sold in packages. So this is not, I'm going to come once. No, it's, I'm committed to this process. And there might be a whole other transformational piece that goes along with it. You might offer things with that package, bonuses. If it's health coaching, and maybe you invite people into the health coaching through your, you know, they're your yoga student, and you invite them into health coaching, they do a free session with you, and then you invite them into a six-month committed program where they're getting health coaching, and then during that time they might get a free massage, a discounted massage, they might get a book, a CD that goes along with the package, they might get a discounted classes in your studio while they're in your private program. But do you see how if someone commits for 6 months or 3 months or 4 months or whatever you decide, you can provide that transformation for them, they will get a much deeper benefit. It's like diving deep into that ocean with you. And another form of highly committed deeper offerings is offering advanced training or intensives. So if you've been teaching for a long time, you may be ready to offer an intensive in any area of specialization or passion that you have. This could be a one-month intensive. It could be a teacher training. It could be a week-long intensive. It could be something online. Coming from your specialized knowledge. Now, even beginners, everybody can do free offerings, entry-level offerings. And even beginners with not too much time can move into offering private lessons with bonuses in packages. And particularly if you have another area of specialization, you can combine it with another area of training, you can do this. As far as offering advanced trainings or intensives that go along with yoga, that might take a little bit more experience to move into. That's easier for a highly experienced teacher to offer, but it's not completely out of reach for beginners. Okay. Let's see. I think we're doing good here. So let's talk about how you find your area of specialization. And, you know, really, I list some common specializations here, things you can specialize in on the next page, page 5, yoga for children. If you were a teacher before, that's a natural pre- and postnatal yoga, fertility yoga, seniors, workplace, yoga for sleep, back pain, yoga for cancer, outdoor yoga, yoga and hiking, restorative, yoga for depression, yoga and dance, specific sports, yoga and coaching, yoga for women, yoga and Ayurveda or any other health modality, yoga therapy for specific conditions, there's the yoga of relationship and communication, or create your own niche. This could be a combination of yoga with any other modality. Yoga and Thai massage, for example. So I'm going to give you some ideas of how you can, you know, pointers of where to look to find your niche, but sometimes it can feel a little bit like hide and seek. So really, folks, this is going to be unique for each one of you, and no one from the outside can tell you. We each have to find our own purpose. We each have to find that Swadharma. This is a word from the Bhagavad Gita, swa meaning your own, dharma, your right path, your cosmic path, the purpose you were born for. That is the word dharma. And swadharma is your own. So there are dharmic rules of kindness and nonviolence and truthfulness, the way of living in peace with this, with our environment. But even within that, each person has their own way of expressing the reason they were born here. And the Bhagavad Gita says that it is much better to live your own swadharma imperfectly than to do a great job living someone else's swadharma. So So letting go of needing to please anyone, letting go of needing to copy anyone else's path or follow what we think we're supposed to be doing, looking inside, what is Durga telling you? How are you being guided right now? That's your best guide. Now, what are some of the ways to find this? Well, one of the best guides is what you like. This is what I call the bliss meter. It's your North Star. What you love is likely your life purpose. And isn't that nice that the goddess set it up that way? I just love that. It's like we're not meant to be miserable. We are not meant to be miserable. We are meant to be joyful. And we are doing our best work when we are happy. We are doing our best work when we are serving the people we love to serve. It's like, if you don't like teenagers, that is probably not your mission in life. And that's totally cool. It will be someone else's. And isn't that great? You know, if you love to be around people who are sick and just had surgery and you love going in when someone is very weak and can hardly move and they're all drugged up and you love that, that might be your Swadharma. That's your calling. So the number one thing is your bliss meter, okay? What you love is your is a great guide to your unique path. Another guide is what you've been studying, what you've been interested in, any background, any previous training you have. Now, if it's previous training that you, let me just say it, hated and you really want to leave it behind, that's fine. I had a client once who and trained as an occupational therapist and really didn't want to go back to working as an occupational therapist. But she realized that it gave her credentials in working with doctors for referrals. And she wanted to work with women with nervous exhaustion because she had had nervous exhaustion. And so I want to say, folks, this is another clue. If you have had a problem in your life and you have learned to solve it, very likely you've learned a lot that could help other people. And what happens so often is we have a problem in life and we kind of think that that was either our personal failure or our own personal cross to bear or our personal, you know, problem. And we don't see how that can be something that serves others. If you have gone through something, if you've had addictions in your life and you've learned how to overcome them and you've come out the other end, you might want to be an addiction specialist, specializing in yoga therapy for addictions. That is so needed. So something, a challenge you've been through in your life, and very often your most painful life lessons, okay, this can be hard to get because our painful life lessons we often hide from others. We don't want people to know how bad it was. We don't want people to know how much we struggled, how much shame we felt. But when we can forgive ourselves for those losses and for whatever we think caused the problem, often there's not just a silver lining, there's gold there. There's a gold gift, that pot to give others. So these are some places to look, and on page 6, I go through a whole list of journaling questions for you that can help you. Let me just see if I've... Yeah. So those are some points in. And once you have a hunch or a guess about what your unique path as a teacher might be, then it's time to brainstorm about this group. And I wanted to say that in my experience, there's two things that can really help you have an empowered business model. And one of them is having a tiered approach that's like that river, really creative headwaters of the free offerings, good, strong, entry-level offerings, and then the depth of the ocean. This is a tiered business model that will support you financially, because where the depth is, often that will be a greater income for you, for most teachers. And plus, you are doing a better service, you're giving, and you will be more creatively fulfilled when you're really offering that ocean to your top students who you love working with. But the other ingredient to really thriving is specializing, letting your unique light shine through. And that's why we're looking at this. What is your Swadharma? Now, even if you're, even, I shouldn't say it like that, but if you're going to primarily be teaching non-specialized classes, but quote-unquote regular, maybe level one, level two classes, still, I want you to do this work on your Swadharma, because once you get this, it will allow your light as a teacher to shine and help you feel unique and actually be unique in a way that will differentiate you from other teachers, and it will guide you towards what is your deeper offering, what is your ocean, okay? So even if it doesn't look like you're really specializing, specialize in who you are within that. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so on page 7, you're going to write your potential ideal client. This is someone who you think you would love to work with. Like you could say, I want to work with people who just got out of surgery. I want to work with women in their 40s and 50s who want to feel more beautiful. I want to work with caregivers of disabled children. And I want to offer yoga therapy and coaching for them, mentoring for caregivers. I want to work with prenatal. Now, again, if you do prenatal and senior, that's great. And for this class, just focus on the one you want to grow. So you would be doing this exercise on page 7 in relation to prenatal. So your potential ideal client would be a woman who's pregnant. And let's get more specific. Maybe a woman who's pregnant who wants a spiritual approach, who wants to stay physical, who wants to stay healthy, who's interested in health and fitness. And what is the problem that this person has? So name the problem that they face and be as specific and graphic as you can in how this problem is affecting them. And the solution that they seek, how do they want to feel? So if it's, I'm just going to go with this, seniors who've just had, let's say, hip surgery, and maybe you're a nurse, and you work, you want to do rehab yoga, and quick recovery yoga, or speedy recovery, or smooth recovery yoga for people who've just had surgery. The problem they have is they're in bed, they might be getting bed sores, they're getting a little lonely, they're getting a little depressed, they're nervous that their healing might not go as fast as they wish, and they're in pain. And the meds are making them woozy. So that's the problem. The solution they seek would be, I want to feel better really quick. I want the pain to be gone. I want to be back to my normal life again. I want to have full function in my body again. And I want to feel happy. I don't want to be bedridden. That's the solution. Now, what do they need to learn, know, and do? This is what you think they need to learn. This would be, in a way, your process. They need to learn how to move in bed and do some gentle stretches so that their circulation can get going while they're in bed, and that'll speed their recovery. They need to know how to do yoga breathing to calm their mental state and help them feel happier while they're healing. They need to know how much and when to do these yoga exercises that I'm going to give them to speed their recovery and calm their minds as they're going through this difficult challenge. And then the benefits, the juicy benefits they will enjoy from the solution. So what are the benefits in this case? Well, my patients will heal more quickly. My patients will maybe get fewer bed sores. They won't get as depressed. They'll feel like smiling every day. And what are the benefits of the benefits? Okay, there's one more here. What is this? This is where I want you to get even more juicy and see, well, what is the benefits of healing more quickly? They'll be able to play with their grandchildren when their grandchildren come visit. They'll be able to get back to playing golf. They'll be able to go play bridge. They'll enjoy their social life again. They'll be able to go for walks. They'll be able to get back to their painting class. So do you see how the juicy benefits are the direct benefits? And then we want to go even deeper. How will that improve their life? Okay. So looking at the next page here, I'm now on page 8, embrace your losses. A lot of times when you start to think about a niche, you might say, oh, I can't do that because Well, I can't tell people I have three healthy children because one of them is disabled. Or, well, I can't tell people I help others with yoga business because, gosh, we lost money on the Green Yoga Conference. This is a personal. Raise my hand. One. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about something that you have lost in your life that maybe you don't feel so great about. And what have you learned from that? How did you turn it around? What did you get from it? So everything that has been difficult for you has made you stronger. So, you know, in my case, I went out and I studied absolutely everything that was out there. I became so much more passionate about what it takes to succeed in business than I ever was before. What does it take to really have the attendance and the income from a conference? And learned so many things that I didn't even know before, you know, at that time, which was 5 years ago, actually. So what have you, what new passions have your losses? If you had a family member die, what did you learn from facing that death? Now, you, this might be, you might never tell your students about this loss. You might never tell anyone in your yoga career about this loss. But for you to understand how every loss in your life has strengthened you and has made you more wise and more intelligent and clear, this is Durga, folks. This is stepping onto that lion. This is owning your power and saying, I can do it. Even the hardest things in my life have made me stronger. Now, for some of you, telling people about your losses will inspire others. Wow, that happened to her, and she was able to turn it around? Maybe I can do that, too. So I'm not saying to go out and bare your soul in every circumstance, in every regular yoga class. That could be way too much. But under the right circumstances, telling your story is important. And so you need to make peace with your past. You need to forgive all those difficult situations. Now, page 9, there's a couple things to think about. This one might feel funny. Ideally, at least 10,000 people in your target market. So if you want to work with, you know, pregnant women in New York City, are there about 10,000 of them? Because in order, if you, now this really gets back to your desired income. And this is, honestly, this is a choice. There are some people who are retired, and yoga is a retirement income. There's another family member who has a good income, and it does not matter what their yoga income is. Okay? There are some people who choose to teach yoga as a hobby while they have another job. Okay? And if that's you, then the income is not as important, and that's totally fine. But if you would like to have yoga be an empowered income for you, you do want to pay attention to this. So if there are about 10,000 people, possibly 5 depending, that's good. If you want to teach women in a rural area of a certain age group, are there at least 5,000 of them in that age group that would be willing to drive to your work or do it online? You do need to care deeply about the group you want to work with, and honestly, if you've done this right, if you're following your Swardharma, you will. And if you don't, you're not on the right track. You need to get on a track where you care passionately because you're going to put a lot of work in, and your passion is what's going to feed everything. You do know how to find the members of your niche or the people you're most ideally meant to serve. So where do they go, and who else serves them? If it's pregnant women, you know, how can you reach out to other doctors, midwives, nurses, birthing centers to get referrals and build your network? How strongly do the people in your niche want to solve this problem? Ideally, it's a problem they care about and want your help with. If you have to educate them and show them the problem, that's going to be a little harder. And this one is really important. Are people in this niche willing and able to pay for your services? Okay, I'm going to take a drink of water before I say something about this. Okay. Sometimes I have clients who say that they really, really want to work with inner city children, okay, or inner city youth. And this is a nonprofit work. And what I would say about that, and I've certainly started a nonprofit, is that what you would want to do in that case is set up a business model where the nonprofit has its own stream of income. So that I once had a client who wanted to work with teens who were Asian girls, and they would not have the income to pay. She wanted to work with girls who had been trafficked, actually. And so she set up another business to support that work. And then that business was going to provide the income for scholarships for these teens to take her workshops, and some people would pay. Okay? It's a little more complex. But what I'm saying is that you need to either set it up so that the people that you are going to be helping can pay you, they can afford to pay you, or if it's a group that you want to work with that you know cannot afford to pay you, okay, you need to have a different planning mechanism in advance for how you're going to get the funding. Now, if you're good at writing grants, you can set that up, okay? But that's something you want to plan for and think about in advance in order to empower your project, right? We're planning for success so that you can build this and get it out there, get your passion out there, and reach the right people and not have to close your doors. Okay. Then we get into the big idea of your business. What message do you want to convey? How are you different from other practitioners, and what are the results you provide? I recommend, as you write this or when you're done, I recommend getting up on a soapbox and practicing this as a speech. I recommend standing in front of your mirror and giving a speech to the mirror. What do you want to convey? I recommend going on a walk and talking to the trees. I recommend standing by your window and talking out the window. When I was writing my dissertation many years ago, I would stand by the window and talk a chapter and just speak it to the trees, and then I would sit down and write it. It's a great way to get really clear on the big idea. Okay, we're going to go just a few more minutes here, and then I want to open this up and see if there's any questions on the content. So if you have a question on content, you can go ahead and get it ready. So as you get clear on this and what you're focusing on and where you want to grow, we want to start kind of gathering the words to talk about it. This will make you feel grounded. When you know how to describe it, those words are going to go in everything else you do. They're going to go in your website, on your business card. They're going to go in your business name. They're going to go in the way you talk about what you do to other people. So everything you've done so far is clarifying your passion, why you're passionate, what is your message, why are you picking this group, why do you care? And now we want to get even more clear on the words. So this is a journaling exercise here on page 10 for you to journal your own transformation about yoga. Now, if you are getting started, you can do this in general. If you want to develop a specific niche, like let's say yoga and Ayurveda, then do this journaling page on 10 in relation to that niche. What is your, why are you passionate about yoga and Ayurveda? What transformation have you gained through combining yoga and Ayurvedic lifestyle and medicine in your own life? Okay, then we've got the secondary benefit. So we've got the direct transformation here and the secondary benefit. So if yoga and Ayurveda has helped you sleep better and feel happier and healthier and have better menstruation and you don't have so many cramps anymore, I'm just giving an example, and your digestion is better, those would be the transformation, the direct benefits. And then the secondary benefits. Well, gosh, if those things happen, you can go backpacking. You can enjoy your time with your family. You have more energy to make your house beautiful. You're happier, and your students are happier because you're happier. Do you see how that would be the secondary benefits? Where would your life be today if you had not started to combine yoga and Ayurveda? And do you see how, well, you say, gosh, I might still be suffering with those awful cramps, or I might still have that awful digestion, and I might still have allergies. And so do that for yourself, and then do it for an ideal student. If you've been teaching for a while, pick an ideal student, one of your best students that you love the most, who's had the best results, again, in relationship to an area you want to grow, and answer these questions. Now, if you're a new teacher or you want to develop a new specialty, you might not have a past student to do this with, right? So in that case, you might choose to do what we call ideal client interviews. Let's say you're wanting to work with yoga students who are suffering from depression. You want to do private lessons for depression. You could write about yourself, your own journey through yoga, page 10. How has yoga helped you with your depression? And write about that, journal in detail, and then go out and find someone else who could become a potential client, who has depression and who you is the right age and perhaps the right gender or has the right characteristics of the person that you would be possibly wanting to work with. Ask them if they're willing to give you a 30-minute interview, and the questions to ask them are right here on page 12. Okay, you're going to tape record it so you can listen later and get the words. Ask them the problems they face, what keeps them up at night, what worries them. What do they tell their loved ones? Do you want to get the words of what's really bugging them? Not your own words, because as yoga teachers, when we write marketing pieces, what I see a lot, and I know I used to do it, I'm still working with this and learning this, is we write what we think people want, what we think people need. But what I want you to get is, what are the words that your ideal clients use? Because those are the words they're going to resonate with. Then you ask them not only the problems they face, but the results they want. Okay, if they were going to be your student for maybe private yoga therapy lessons, what would they want to get out of it? How do they hope their life would change? How do they want to feel? What do they want to be able to do again, and why, and what difference would that make in their life if they were less depressed or if this other thing were true, okay? So keep all these things. As you do this, keep a file. We're going to use it going forward. And then if you turn the page, once you have those words, you're going to want juicy benefit words. So, gosh, my clients want to feel joy again. They want to feel bliss. They want to feel peace. Get the words that are the most juicy. And collect a word library. Keep a word library for your people. And you can already start to ground into the power of your emerging niche by weaving these words into things like your email signature, your business name, your cards, your bio. We're going to work on specifically on your bio next week. Your website tagline. Which I don't even have one. You don't need one, but that is something you could weave it into if you have one or want one, your voicemail message. Your expert title. Okay, rather than saying yoga teacher, listen to this, folks. Don't let people put you in a box. If they say, what do you do, and you say, I'm a yoga teacher, their mind is going to go, oh, yeah, I take yoga, or I have a yoga teacher, or I did that once and it was too hard. They'll put you in a box. They've got a label for you. Their mind relaxes. Come up with a title that's a little more juicy that will get them to go, oh, wow, I know somebody who could use that, like health and wellness yoga teacher or Ayurvedic yoga specialist or smooth recovery, you know, recovery specialist or prenatal joyful pregnancy specialist. And I've given you some words here. Your business website domain name, which is also called a URL. That's the domain for your business. Simple, short is better. Watch out for spelling errors. I can't tell you how many people cannot spell divine feminine. And that's my URL. People make spelling mistakes all the time. Your name is good. I also have lauracornell.com, and people can, it'll redirect to Divine Feminine. So choose a few keywords that are juicy benefit words, either words from your business name or words from the benefits that your people want, or perhaps a problem. Like if you're working with Yoga for Cancer, you could put cancer and yoga in your URL. Now, Yoga for Cancer is probably already taken. A lot of the best names are taken. So when you go searching for a name, you might need to add my, your, the, or something like that at the beginning of your name. It's okay. But do not put dashes in your name and get .com. Unless you're from another country, then you can get the ending for your domain name that goes with your country. But try to get .com if you're in the United States. And then I have here some values clarification. And this is Durga again. This is setting your boundaries and your goals. What do you want? What income do you want? And how do people in your family feel about that? And let yourself be truthful. Let yourself be grounded and powerful in this. What are the choices about what you can do or sacrifice? For many of us, it's a sacrifice to grow into building our own business. You know, it might be a lot easier to go out and get a regular job with a regular paycheck, 9 to 5. It is less work. I'll tell you right now, it is less work. What is your ideal teaching schedule? How much would you like to teach intensives each year? And where do you want to teach? Do you want to be in gyms? Do you want to be in studios? Do you want to be in your home? So just let yourself get clear on this. So each of these are choices for you to make and for you to consider what's going to really work for you based on your lifestyle, perhaps your stage of life, perhaps who else is living with you and your family, whether or not you have children, whether you're single or with a partner. Perhaps other decisions could really impact these kinds of decisions, and they're all going to impact your path as you grow as a yoga teacher. The next page, I want to just point out, this is a page, page 14, for you to record fears and blocks that come up as you're going through this guidebook. So what you might find as you're filling in the guidebook, that you'll hear a little doubting voice, or I couldn't do that because I'm not ready to offer a deeper offer because I'm not ready to do this because, or people won't think I'm good enough. So if you hear little fears, blocks, whatever they are, just go ahead and record them here. And those are things that we'll use next week in the unit on Kali. And then the next page guides you through visualizing, really as you're putting together all of these pieces, visualizing what it is that you want and allowing yourself to feel that. And I encourage you to feel the vibration of what it is that you're wanting to create. Okay? So go through that page. And then on the last page, this is a blessing from your inner guides. And there's actually a separate audio that I created that will guide you through that. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop now. And I encourage you to work on this guidebook. And you can either go directly now to the guided visualization, or you can pause and perhaps take a day or two and spend some time kind of sleeping on this and seeing what comes up in your sleep and taking some time to go through this guidebook. And when you're ready, give yourself at least 15 minutes to listen to the guided visualization. It is a 15-minute audio, and then to journal on what comes up for you as you go through that. So, many blessings. Thank you for being here for this training class, and I look forward to supporting you in your journey to really thriving, to claiming your passion, to walking with Goddess Durga, walking with that lion, and expanding, all based in your passion for healing in the world, what it is that you want to see, what it is that you want to bring, the beauty that you want to birth in the world. Sending many blessings. I'm Laura Cornell. Namaste.